Well, hello, everybody. My name is Don Wyatt. I'm the manager of AM 1220 KPJC with the 25-minute message, which usually ends up to be about 28 minutes. As you might know, the station can be heard at thejctown.com, streaming live around the world, or t2tn.com. And you can always reach me by calling 503-316-1220 or by email don@thejctown.com. Well, if you believe in God in any form, then you have an obligation and hopefully a desire to know everything you can about Him. And I have a free gift for you valued at $20. I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. But for now, I hope that you're listening closely to why it's so important that you know everything about Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. When many of us became aware that the Creator of all things wanted us to know Him, we came in through a religion. Are you a religious person? I hope not. Because I'd like to suggest that if you are religious, it's time for you to reconsider where you are in your life and how you fit in to the plan of eternity. I want to suggest that much of what we've learned is religion and not relationship with our Father, and we might have to relearn some things and get a different perspective. But don't we want to be teachable children? Don't we want Him to give us more and more truth? Don't we want Him to give us this progressive revelation till the very day we die and see Him face to face? Well, I can tell you one thing. You don't want to be stuck in your religion. And here's why. Dictionary.com defines religion as a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects in their ritual observance of faith. Now, that's man's definition of our relationship with Abba Father. But is that how He looks at your connection to Him? You see, religion is something made up by man. Religion is something we do out of duty or obligation. It's a habit that we do, like going to church. It's a habit we do, like going to church on Sunday, celebrating certain holidays, blindly doing whatever our leaders tell us without finding out if we're really being taught what lines up with the instructions of our Heavenly Father. Oh, by the way, don't forget, I want to send you a free $20 DVD, and I'll give you instructions about that in a few more minutes. But the bottom line about religion is that Abba, our Father, doesn't look at us or define what He wants from us like we think of Him, as though He's some Greek god that we might imagine sitting on top of Mount Olympus, spouting orders and looking for ways to punish us. While He does expect us to be obedient children and to learn our lessons, He's not like that at all. In fact, He loves us like most fathers and mothers love their children, and He gave us some very loving and easy instructions to follow, with a purpose in mind for us so that we can become like Him and become kings and priests and rulers. There's a reason He's teaching us specific instructions. In fact, the whole Bible is based on one story that starts in the beginning. Incidentally, that's what the word Bereshit means in Hebrew, in the beginning. And you might know that book in the Bible as Genesis, in the beginning. Now, at the same time, that same story that was told in the beginning about how Father created all things for His children to enjoy with Him and the loving instructions He gave us to follow so that we could always be with Him and learn His ways of being like Him, those instructions are found in the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. Unfortunately, as we all know, we are a pretty rebellious bunch of kids. And as people decided not to do things in the ways our Father taught us that would actually give us eternal life, we started to make up our own ways to worship Him. Hey, but bad news for us, there's not one of us that haven't broken His commandments and put ourselves in jeopardy or in conflict with a holy set-apart Father and His instructions that would have given us life. Well, as you probably know, the story doesn't end there. He loves us so much and wanted relationship restored so much that He gave Himself in the form of Yeshua, or Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the only blood offering that could wash away the things that we had chosen over our Father's ways. Of course, we've learned to call this falling away from His ways sin. But what does sin really mean? Well, it's probably not what you think, so I hope you'll keep listening to the rest of this message. But just in case you don't have the time to listen to the whole 28 minutes, the definition of sin is found in 1 John 3:4. Everyone who breaks the law, in fact, sin is lawlessness. Sin is everyone who breaks the law. What that means is that when we make up how we want to have relationship with our Father, and we do things in our own ways by setting up rituals and practices that He didn't tell us to follow, or we don't do the things that He did tell us to keep for our own instruction, then we become disobedient, stubborn children who refuse to learn His ways and His lessons, preferring our own man-made religion. That is sin. And that's why I want to give you a DVD so that you can tell if you are one of those disobedient children who loves tradition more than your Father's truth. In fact, it's called Truth or Tradition. Call the radio station at 503-316-1220 or email me, don@thejctown.com, for your free copy. All I ask you to do is to promise me that you'll listen to it, you'll watch it, and let me know what you think. Then pass it on to someone else. When we choose our own ways to honor our Father instead of His ways, it's called golden calf worship. Do you remember that story in the Bible? Well, here's a refresher by our good friend Jim Staley. After his talk, I'll give you instructions on how you can get that $20 DVD entitled Truth or Tradition one more time, so stay tuned to AM 1220 whenever you can, either on the air or streaming live on the internet around the world at www.thejctown.com or t2tn.com. It really is radio you can't get anyplace else.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line.
Hi and welcome to Passion for Truth Ministries. I'm Jim Staley. Today we will be talking about one of the most popular stories in the Bible, the story of the golden calf. You know, the story where the Israelites just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, witnessing one of the most incredible miracles of all time. They come to the base of Mount Sinai and are waiting for Moses to come back down with the commandments. But their patience being what it was, could not wait for him to come back down. So what do? Make a golden calf and start worshiping another god besides the true God, Yahweh. Or did they? My question is that what really happened? Are we sure the Israelites' motives were to worship another god? Well, join us today as we dig deeper into the scriptures on this topic and learn that there is much more there than meets the eye. And as always, as we search the scriptures together, we will let Him grow our passion for truth.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
The more that I actually dig into this section of scripture in Exodus chapter 32, I believe it is, the golden calf, right before the Ten Commandments are brought down from the mountain, it intrigues me, the mentality of the people. Now, how many of you have actually, obviously most everybody is familiar with the golden calf story, and the people are down there, they're waiting for Moses, he's been up there 40 days, they think he's history, so they build a golden calf, they worship it, Moses comes down with Joshua, and he's upset, he breaks the commandments, a stone, has to go up and make a new one, that whole story, okay, we're all familiar with that story. And from the outset, every one of us, I believe, including me, grew up believing that, boy, those bad Israelites are out there worshiping other gods. But believe it or not, that's not what the text says. There's two sides of that text. So we're going to read that text again tonight, and I'm going to show you, we're going to prove what sincerity looks like in the eyes of God when we don't follow, when we add or subtract from His commandments. So if you could turn to Exodus chapter 32, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read. Starting in verse 1, it says, "When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come, make us gods who will go before us. And for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him.' Aaron answered them, 'Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me.' So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron." Verse 4, it says, "He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.'" The word there is Elohim, by the way. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the golden calf." Is that what your Bible says? What's your Bible say? That's right. And you know what that word is in Hebrew? Your Lord is all capitals, isn't it? That's right. It says, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to Yahweh," is what the scriptures actually say. Now, isn't that a little strange? Time out for a second here. The Israelites are making a golden calf because Moses is gone. And Aaron, the leader of everybody, says, "Tomorrow we're going to have a feast day, a festival to Yahweh, the God that just brought them out of Egypt." Isn't this kind of a contradiction? They're making gods, but they're worshiping the true God. Does anybody else see that? Or am I just crazy? I never read that before. I always read this as they were making these false gods and worshiping these false gods. I had never actually dawned on me that Aaron is saying this is a festival to Yahweh. So what we're going to do is we're going to put ourselves back in their shoes right after the Red Sea here and see what happens. There'll be a festival to the Lord tomorrow, says Aaron. They knew who the true God was. Come on, they just came out of the Red Sea. They just watched, literally, all of their enemies killed in one afternoon. In one day, the entire Egyptian army and Pharaoh was destroyed right before them. They had never seen miracles like they had just seen. Never. There's 2.5 million people walking across this huge river, sea, with walls of water on both sides. There's no doubt which God is the true God. Okay? Out of all the gods in Egypt, they knew that Yahweh was the true God. They were taking some of their old traditions that they learned in Egypt, okay, which is symbol of bondage in the New Testament, and were mixing it with the true worship of the true God Yahweh. Oh, Jim, that sounds a little far-fetched. No, I'm going to prove it to you. You see, in Egyptian culture, from their perspective, by the way, from the Israelites' perspective, they were worshiping Yahweh. Even Aaron says the whole thing is dedicated to him. Okay? But the Lord makes it very clear that from his perspective, they're in idolatry. You see, because Egyptian culture of gods and goddesses worked like this. They understood that gods were not inside the idol. Okay? They understood that Zeus was up there. They understood that, you know, Pisces was over here, and this god, and all the different gods were where they normally are in the spiritual realm. But in order to communicate to those gods, you needed a mediator. All right? And those mediators were the idols. And so they would bow before that idol. They would worship that idol. But they understood that they're not bowing to a wooden idol, that the wooden idol is not anything. It is a representation. It is a medium by which the God transfers himself or communicates to the people. How many have heard of even a medium? Even today, cults will use mediums to communicate with the either the dead or evil spirits. Okay? Because you can't use directly communicate with an evil spirit. That's why diviners will use, everybody ever heard of a divining rod? Okay? They go into these haunted houses and you use these divining rods and they'll communicate. It's like a stick. They'll communicate to the dead or to these evil spirits via an object. For whatever reason, nobody understands, but there is a definite reality between the spiritual realm and the physical realm, that the spiritual realm uses physical objects to communicate to the physical realm. The spiritual connects to the physical using physical realm. How many have heard of the Ouija boards? Okay, Ouija boards are real. You are connecting with a supernatural evil realm using a physical instrument. It's no different than a divining rod or something of that nature, okay? So these idols in Egypt were the same thing, is that the gods used these physical attributes or these physical instruments to communicate. I had a friend in Africa, and he used to tell me that the witch of a particular town or city, the witch doctor, excuse me, he would tell me these stories of what really happened about witch doctors in Africa. And he said what they would have is they would have these gourds. When you walk in their house, they'd have these gourds that would hang from their walls, their ceilings, and these gourds had actual demons, spirits that lived in them, and the spirits would talk to you through the gourds. They were encompassed in these gourds, and he said, I have literally walked in these houses and I have had gourds speak to me, voice coming from the gourd. And he's like, Jim, they use physical things to communicate to human beings. So the spiritual and the natural are connected through instruments for some strange reason. So that background, there's one other key thing that you need to understand about Egyptian gods and goddesses, is that as they are mediums, or they are mediators, okay? They are what is between the god and man, all right? So when they left Egypt, who is leading them? Moses. Moses is the what? He's the mediator between God and man. Moses dies. What are they trained to do? What is their culture? What did they grow up in? You can't worship a god without a mediator. Okay? So what happened was, I believe Aaron tells the whole story here. Their heart was not necessarily evil from their perspective. They thought they were doing the right thing. Because they said, here are the gods that brought you out. Here are the Elohim, by the way, is the right word. Here are the Elohim that brought you out of Egypt. They know who brought them out of Egypt. It's right there in the text. It's very specific. Is that these are the gods, the one true God, Yahweh. This is Him. Okay? This is who He is. So tomorrow we're going to dedicate this day, this calf, this idol, this new mediator, this new Moses, okay, that is going to lead us from now on, because they needed a leader. They knew that God did not speak directly to the people. Do you see the impact and the power of this? They had never had a God speak to them directly. It's not in their vocabulary or their thought process that any kind of God could speak directly to a human being. You see? Little did they know that this was going to be Yahweh's way. This was going to be God's way. This is what His desire would be, is to speak directly to His people, one-on-one, from God to man, with no idol, no mediator. So you might remember what the second commandment is. Where do you think that came from? Now this should start to make sense. The second commandment is, you shall not have any graven images. Because what's their culture? What is their nature bent to do? We got a God, got to have a graven image. We have to have an idol, because that's the way it works around here. Okay? Remember Paul in all these gods are lined up, all these idols up Mars Hill, gets to the very top, and they have one that says the unknown God. Just in case we miss one. I've always grown up thinking, what a dummy. How could these people have all these wooden images and think they're gods? But see, if I grew up the way they did, they're not dummies. They know that the gods are out there. These are representations. These are mediums by which the gods speak. Right? Makes a heck of a lot more sense. They're not as dumb as we think. They built the pyramids, for crying out loud. But I want to point out something. I believe the Israelites, in their most sincerity, were worshiping Yahweh. They believed they were worshiping Yahweh. Even Aaron himself dedicates the whole day on behalf of everybody unto Yahweh. But what they did in mistake was they pulled from their traditions and their background their former pagan idolatry and traditions and pulled it right into the biblical truth of religion in God's eyes, and it defiled it. They were. All those were traditions that were associated with Egyptian idolatry. They brought that into the true worship of the true God. Now, from their perspective, they were worshiping in truth, in spirit and truth. But what they did not realize is that God's perspective, which trumps our perspective, is this. Verse 7, then Yahweh said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. That's right. Remember, before it used to be God's people, but now they're your people. your people have become corrupt. Now let's stop there for a moment. Don't read further. How does something become corrupt? Let's just think about that word for a moment. Think about something that's not corrupt, something that's very perfect and pure. Okay? Let's think of a glass of water, a pure glass of water. How can you make something that's pure corrupt? By adding what? Something that's foreign, that's corrupt, that's defiled. Something that is not pure can only make something pure impure. You have to get rid of the corruption. You can't take a glass of water that already has dirt in it and somehow extract the dirt and it just makes the... Because it intermingles into the very DNA of that glass of water, okay? So corrupt means that something was mixed. Right there in the text, something's mixed. They have become mixed, something mixed with them. They have been quick, verse 8, to turn away from what I commanded them. Bingo, stop. That was before they were corrupt. Yahweh gave them instructions, commanded them, that's pure. They turned away from that and made themselves an idol. Stop. What was the impurity? The idol. Okay. The idol. Was it? They cast it in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Now, see, the confusing part of why we think they're actually worshiping other gods is because that's what Yahweh said. That's what God said. God said they're worshiping other gods. So we skip right over the part where Aaron says, "Hey, we're going to worship Yahweh tomorrow. This is all for him." Because we're looking from God's perspective, you see? There's two perspectives always in this world. There's how we view things, and there's how he views things. We're supposed to always be bent towards the way that he views things. Unfortunately, we tend to get stuck in the way that we view things. But in reading the scripture here, we have read back into the text the motive of the Israelites. When I believe the motive of the Israelites very clearly is that they were thinking that they were doing the right thing. And God says, "Huh-uh, you were worshiping other gods." Let that sink in for a moment. They think they're doing the right thing by worshiping Yahweh with this golden calf. And Yahweh says, "Huh-uh, you are worshiping an idol." That is idolatry. Do I need to parallel this at all? For the listener, I am going to let you use whatever your imagination is here, because I want the Spirit to speak to you. This is very clear. And I'll say it again before we move on. They thought they were worshiping the true God the way that he wanted to be worshiped. But they got creative, because worshiping God his way was way too boring. It's way more fun to party and to use the pagan practices and to do things our way and use our traditions. Rocking around that golden calf. You thought I was going to say Christmas tree, didn't you? They substituted God's ways of worship for man's ways, and it was simply not accepted. They substituted God's ways of worship for man's ways, mixed them together, and it wasn't accepted. We have got to put the mind... How many have heard the verse in Scripture? It says, put on the mind of the Messiah. Put on the mind of Christ. Why? Why does he make a big deal about that? Because we're constantly putting on our own mind. We can't get out of our own perspective. We need to have the Father's perspective on everything. We always go wrong when we use our own perspective. Always. You start thinking, and that's where your first mistake is. We need to start thinking from his perspective.
Wow, that really makes you step back and reflect, doesn't it? Well, at least I know it did me. I really want to do what my Father wants me to do all the time. I want to please him. I want to do things his way. Why bother doing religion or somebody else's opinion? Why waste time on worthless traditions that only take us farther away from our Father's purpose for us? Why be so tied to the habits we have formed that we call God? And it's really just sin, according to 1 John 3:4. Isn't it time we stop fooling ourselves and become obedient children? Now, don't get upset with me, and don't think I'm upset with you, because I'm not. If it's not in the Bible, then it's not something I want you to do. But if it is in the Bible and you're not doing it, or if it's in the Bible and there's something that says you shouldn't be doing something and you are, I'm trying to give you a lifeline. I'm trying to give you a chance to be obedient and please your Father while you still can. The only reason I can give this DVD away for free is because somebody that's listening to this radio station cared enough about you to pay your way. Now, you've heard that before, haven't you? To get your free copy of Truth or Tradition, write for one at KPJC Radio, P.O. Box 17008, Salem, Oregon, 97305. Call 503-316-1220 or email me, don@thejctown.com. We'll be filled with the excitement and pleasure of knowing that you are pursuing the calling of Yahweh Yeshua on your life. And don't forget, we're building a Hebrew nation of those who have crossed over on this station. So tell your family and friends you might want to tune in here at thejctown.com or t2tn.com. It's radio you can't get anyplace else. Shalom, everybody.